Welcome to the Fabric Podcast. Does it feel to you like winning and losing is all there is these days? There is that dreaded compromise, but that can feel like everyone's losing. In this episode, Greg Meyer helps us discover or rediscover what could really be better than compromise.
4 years ago, 2016, we were facing a national election that was straining our civic muscles. It was divisive and troubling, hinting at, it was shouting out that all was not well among us in these United States. Certainly there were and always are things that bind us together, but at that moment, it was not enough to make us feel one at all. We were heavy on the pluribus and light on the unum. What followed were 4 years of deepening divide, decreasing respect, and ability to understand how other people in our country could believe what they did. Welcome to November 2020. Deja vu. It's a couple of days before the election, and the only thing different is that the stakes are higher, emotions are higher, walls between us are higher, suspicion and distrust are higher, and then there is a pandemic. It's devastation and the politicization of it are further exhausting us. Then on May 25th, George Floyd was murdered by the police right here in the midst of our Fabric Minneapolis community. In the ensuing demonstrations worldwide, the unrest locally, we are all dealing with the pain of the long-ignored wound of racial justice being opened up right now among us. And climate change. While the focus on it may have gone backstage, it still looms in our consciousness and its impacts get closer. Is there more? Yeah, probably. This is the moment we find ourselves in these 4 years later. The hurt? It's broader and deeper, but it is still the same hurt. 4 years ago, we, Fabric, met this challenge with a vision intended to lift us past the immediacy of the problems staring us in the face so that we could see the bigger picture and begin to and commit to working there. That vision is as relevant and important today as it was then. In this last week before the election, and in the weeks following it, we want to revisit what felt true then and still feels true today. What I and other curators will be doing is resetting the context as needed and filling in with perspectives that we don't want to miss today but couldn't have known about 4 years ago. We want to talk about better than compromise. Back in 2016, we were still Jacob's Well. We renamed ourselves in 2018 to stay true to our vision as a community that is always in a changing environment. So just translate that to Fabric when you hear it. Today, I invite you to join us on this quest for better than compromise and to ask the question, what's wrong with compromise? And also maybe to remember what it was like back when we could all sit in the same room as each other.
So we are talking about better than compromise. And as Chris, who's my wife, says, well, I don't know, what could be better than compromise? We've never even managed that, you know? So this morning, the Star Tribune, you know, lands on my front step and I look at the headline is, on eve of election, deep divide. I mean, this is where we're at, right, folks? I mean, how many of you are really excited about this election cycle? This is like an endurance contest. So what are we talking about? What's better than compromise? What if we were the people we wanted to be, and the headline this morning on your paper was, on eve of election, deep discernment. What if we could say that? Yeah, that really captured who we are and what we're about. But just to show you how much of a divide we had, I don't know if you noticed that last song, but Chris Tripolino, our music leader, led that song, or wrote that song. And did you notice the credits at the bottom? It said, used without permission. I mean, not only can't we get along with society, but he can't even give himself permission to play his own song. I mean, this is a problem, folks. Chris, we got to talk.
There's a fee for that.
There was a fee. Someone give him a donut, okay? And a cup of coffee. Jeez. Okay. Anyway, what's wrong with compromise?
Okay. I put that in half for nostalgia's sake. It was kind of nice, for me anyway, in those good old days when we could all be in the same room with someone else, and when I said something, there was an actual reaction. My laptop and microphone aren't nearly as good at that. Staring now, looking for one. Nope, No reaction. Oh, well. The other half of a reason I put that in for was because it showed just how much we are back where we were 4 years ago, only deeper. Let's keep listening.
What's wrong with compromise? You know, we live in a time where in one hand, compromise seems out of reach. On the other hand, there's this cry for no compromise. We will not compromise. Compromise isn't good enough. I'm not willing to give up on what I have. There's something missing in compromise. It's not big enough. And I think that's right. You know, compromise is really this animal that was designed by a committee. It's there, but, you know, who wants it? When we don't have the possibility of compromise and there's no vision beyond it, the only thing left is to win. And that's what we want to do. We want to win. But every time you win, guess what happens? Someone else loses, right? And that's really kind of what we've been boiled down to. We live in a world where there was a vision of democracy that said that a vote would be taken and there would not be winners and losers, but there would be a decision made by the people, and then we would all take that, and then we would work with that situation and turn it into the best decision for us all. That isn't the situation that most of us are in. I think probably not the vision of democracy that is actually at work among most of us all the time. So now it is, well, there are winners and there are losers, and the losers will spend the next 4 years obstructing the winners so that it really didn't win in the first place, and then we're going to defeat them at that point. All right, that is not the vision of democracy. That is not better than compromise. That's not even compromise. You're going to see on the top of your Sunday paper, there's these little three boxes kind of going across. And the first one, so in this first category, this is sort of the lowest thing, is the win-lose or the lose-win, all right? That's the typical transaction that happens between us. And where most of us spend most of our time is, I want to win, and I'm sorry if that means you're going to lose, but that's what it is. Then there is a step beyond that where it isn't win-lose. And we find this middle ground, and we call that compromise. And that is definitely a step up, right? There's some cooperation going on there. There's some understanding going on. There's compromise. But there is another thing, and that's what we're going to be talking about for these 3 weeks. We're going to be talking about what is better than compromise. And I'm afraid there is just so little vision in our world today for something that could be better than compromise. We can't even get to compromise. What would you possibly be thinking about in talking about better than compromise? The only vision is win-lose. And here I'll ask you to look in your own life, particularly in the world of relationships. Have you ever really experienced win-lose where it wasn't in reality lose-lose? I mean, isn't it always? Maybe kind of on the first go around it's win-lose, but like, I mean, take the example, all right? Two kids, they want to play together. One is a little bit bigger, a little bit more aggressive, and when they decide what to play, they always play with the little bigger, more aggressive kid wants to play. All right? He wins, or she wins. And the other one loses. But what happens when that cycle goes around a few times? The other kid doesn't want to play. Right? Or just is such a pain in the butt that who wants to play with them, you know? Or think about it at work. The boss says, my decision, I decided. It's going to be the way I want to do it. I will always win. I've got the right idea. I know how it's going to work. And so the people that work under that boss, they do it the boss's way. Boss wins. But you know what happens? There's a bunch of scenarios. Passive-aggressive behavior, people really just stop trying, finding ways to circumvent the boss so that they could do what they wanted anyway. It always turns out, I don't care, win, lose, lose, win. In the long run, it always turns out, lose, lose. That's not a great vision for us. It's not a great vision for us as individuals, for as a community, or as a nation, as a world. We got to get beyond that.
This is still a conversation that we need to have, folks. What we're doing now is not working. Compromise is not happening, nor are we finding it desirable. And this whole win-lose thing, it's a failure. But there is so little vision for what could be, for what better than compromise might look like in our lives and in our world. Now, I wish I could tell you just what it is, but I can't. And that's because it isn't a formula or a one more position on the continuum kind of thing. The Bible can help us figure this out, though, because it is born out of a better-than-compromise vision that lies at the heart of it. Paul, the New Testament writer, points at this when he shows how this vision is so much bigger than something we can just turn into a template. He writes, I pray that you may have the power to comprehend the height, width, depth, and length of the fullness of God. I believe he was pointing us towards what we're looking for. He's letting us know that we can be glimpsing, we can be participating in discovering something that we will never grasp. It isn't just what I can do or what you can do or what we can do together, but what can happen when we open ourselves to that which is beyond us and let that transform what our together could look like. That verse uses the words fullness of God. Is that a churchy or Bible-y way of saying better than compromise? I think it is. With Fabric, we talk about the three strands of self, others, and that which is beyond, above, below, around, and between us all, sometimes called God, and how life is meant to be, can be, the weaving of all three of those strands. That's where better than compromise can happen. Let's rejoin our 2016 message again.
So what are some of these characteristics? If we can't say what better than compromise is in any one given situation, what are some characteristics? And I think there are some characteristics that hold true that we find all the time, and it helps us know whether this was just something else or if this is better than compromise. One, first one is that it is new. It's surprising. It's a breakthrough. It comes out of left field. It is the answer you were not looking for. You did not know you should be looking for it. All right? It's better, which kind of fits since we said better than compromise, right? But it is better. It is better than either of you, either of the factions that are in this conversation, in this tension, in this fight with each other. It is better than either of you brought to the table. Win-lose is 1 + 1 = 1. Or actually that erodes down to 3/4 and half and gradually kind of gets down to 0. Compromise is 1 + 1 = 1.5, right? Neither of us quite got what we wanted, but at least we're not fighting. Better than compromise is 1 + 1 = 3 or more, right? It's not just what we brought to the table, but something magically, something wonderfully appears that we didn't know we were getting before. Okay, so that's better. Another characteristic of better than compromise is that it is uniting. It not only uses the other person that before maybe you were feeling contact with, that's cooperation, but it needs that other person. It could not happen without the other person. You have to be doing this together or it isn't there for you any longer. I mean, there's something incredibly powerful, something uniting about this. The last characteristic of better than compromise that I want to put out on the table right now is that it is clarifying. It not only helps you understand who you are and what you really want and who you really understand yourself to be, but it helps you understand who this other person really is. They show up in a whole new light that is exciting, that is new, that is better, that is uniting. And you understand not only yourself and each other better, but you also understand what you were trying to figure out in the first place much better than you ever did before. So it is clarifying. Now, there's also some characteristics of people who seek better than compromise. And by this, I don't mean, well, there's these kinds of people who do this, and then there's other kinds of people. I'm talking about what are the characteristics we draw on in ourselves when we do seek and when we participate in this better than compromise kind of scenario. And you probably could make this list yourself. I mean, I think they're pretty obvious, and we've all been there. One is that we seek to be people that deal with honesty. That is, we're really clear and open about who we are and what we want and what we need in the situation. Also, there's a lot of vulnerability going on there. We're willing to admit that we don't have the answer ourselves. And we're willing to risk incompetence. I think this is a big one. When you seek better than compromise, part of your vulnerability is being willing to be incompetent in finding the solution. Pretty much all of us, when we try to resolve things, where do we go? We go to our area of competence in order to solve it, even if we're well aware that it takes a different competence than we have in order to fix it. I think it's important to kind of note the difference between determination that there is an answer and determination that I have an answer. The vulnerable person is willing to say, there is an answer, but I don't have it. That's good. Another one is curiosity. You're eager to explore. You value diversity for its own sake. You know that a purpose of this is to learn something you don't know yet. There's a native curiosity going on there. There's also an optimism. You could maybe put the word hope in there too. Hope is maybe more powerful, more transcendent about this, but there's an optimism that we bring to it. And it's this optimism is tinged with realism because it has to actually work things out and needs to be able to see the results. It isn't wishful thinking, but it is possibility thinking. And it has a sense that things can change, that it isn't a hopeless situation. So there's an optimism going on there. The last one is persistence and patience. And I put those together because I just think they're a pair. You can't really separate the two. There's an intense conviction that this can be different. I'm determined and I'm not discouraged that it hasn't happened yet, even though maybe I've been working at it for a long time. And I think this is really a big one about this persistence and patience, is that I am willing to wait for a better solution rather than to try to get a lesser solution right now, which might be compromised or might be winning.
You know, 4 years later, that list sounds good, but I'm getting impatient and I'm tempted to think that my persistence has been for nothing. And maybe you feel that too. Maybe you're ready to give up on the whole thing because it just isn't working. That's when I've got to remind myself that we have let this win-lose game hold sway for a long, long time. And rebuilding the trust and understanding needed to change that, it's going to take a while. I also have to tie into the honesty with myself sort of thing and be sure that what I'm not impatient for is winning. Not mean winning, but you know, my side is the right side of this issue sort of winning. Your side may be right, but there is something more than your right. There is something bigger than your right in the better than compromise world. Let's look at a couple examples of better than compromise.
Let me give you a couple examples of better than compromise. When you got here today, you arrived in fall. What is fall? Fall is really just a compromise between summer and winter, right? I mean, you've got summer and you got winter, and fall isn't as hot as summer, and it's not as cold as winter. It's a perfect compromise, you know? In fact, it fills these months in between that, you know, winter and summer have been fighting over for ages. No! I mean, look at that. Can you look at a fall scene like that and say, that's a perfect picture compromise? No! I mean, this is this amazing creation all of its own. Right? Somehow you got to get from summer, you got to get to fall, and we get this bonus thing in there. I like all seasons in balance. I love the interplay and the change, the transition from season to season to season. But if I had to pick one, like at any given day I'd like to be in, fall. I mean, I savor fall. It's just, there's something magical about it. And plus it plays this role in our ecosystem that life couldn't go on as we know it without what fall does for us. You know, so we didn't just have a compromise between summer and winter. We have this new creation that is just amazing. Another one is this. Most of us, anyway, have two eyes. Why? I mean, your two eyes don't do anything different from each other. They both look, all right? And they see things, assuming that you've got two good eyes. You know, why two? Yeah, they give you a little bit wider field of vision, but actually, that's not a real good argument. I mean, it's not that much more. If you just had one in the middle, I mean, ask Cyclops, it works, you know? Why two eyes? You don't see better. What do you see? You see depth, something completely new. I mean, that's really not seeing clear or seeing how much. It's a whole different thing. A person with one eye would never know that this thing was missing. But when the two are there, suddenly the baseball player knows when to swing the bat because he can tell how far away the ball is and when it's going to be there. There's this brand new creation that occurs called depth perception when we have two eyes.
Where have you seen better than compromise in your life? I believe the founding of our nation, flawed though it was better than compromise in regard to the existing options and forces of the day. I believe that what Chris and my four kids have become is better than compromise. Better than a compromise of what we gave them genetically and experientially. They aren't halfway between us. There's something new, surprising, better suited to who they need to be in the world. I believe that sailing is a better than compromise example of physics. Buy me a beer sometime and I'll tell you all about it. We need examples of where it happens in the world and when it has happened in our lives so that we have the confidence to reach for it, especially when we have no idea how it is possible, and especially given the people we have to work it out with. I'm afraid we mistake our inability to grasp better than compromise ahead of time for its impossibility. Back to 2016.
Now, I've got a couple of commitments about better than compromise that I'm going to share with you. These are my pitching mound. You don't have to agree with them. I would ask that you wrestle with them. I think they're important, and I would like to see how each of you own them or own how you what you would substitute for them. And the first is this: better than compromise doesn't always happen, but it is always possible. It doesn't always happen for lots of reasons, but it is always possible. I'm not going to say too much about that. I'm going to let that just sit. Second commitment that I have about this is that better than compromise requires a deep-seated humility. A deep-seated humility. This is so key. And the deeper you get into it, the more you will understand how important this is and how big this is and how hard it is for you to have this. It's almost a confessional thing for us. That it says that it knows in your deepest heart that I alone am not enough. I do not have a full enough understanding of the situations that I'm trying to fix. Neither do I own the ability to fix them within me, or even the idea of what fixing might be within me. But it doesn't reflect on my self-worth. It doesn't say that I am not good enough, or there's something wrong with me that I am that way. It just says, basically, what that is saying is that you were created for community, not to be on your own. It asks you to bring your full self to the table every time. You are needed at the table every time, but you also know when you show up there that someone else has to be on that table, and that you require from whatever they bring to that table as well.
Still true today? Or is that just the naivete of 4 years ago speaking? You've got to decide. We each have to decide. Heads shake when they hear about this kind of humility at a time like this when the stakes are so high. Greg, you may want to tell me, you don't know the people we are in this battle against. And I'll say, you're right, I don't. But maybe you don't really know them either. Maybe, in fact, they don't even really know themselves. You see, we aren't in a battle against each other, even though it definitely looks and feels that way. We are in a battle with each other. The battle isn't to beat the other side, but to find a way to work together, to listen to each other, to understand each other so that we can discover what is better than compromise. What will be new, better, unifying, and clarifying for who we are and what it is that we really want and need. We also need to remember that people on both sides of the aisle and in the middle feel this way. That doesn't make them just as right as you or even right at all. But the fact that everybody is looking at everyone else and thinking they're nuts means that the way out from where we are stuck has got to be different from what got us here. It's going to require each of us to see the people behind the issues, the possibilities beyond our answers, the hope within our discouragement and anger. We are all connected, you know. We share one world and we share the future together. I'm not trying to pitch that there's more that connects us than divides us. I mean, that's certainly true. Nor am I doubting that our differences are serious and of real consequence. They are. But that's not the point, is it? What matters, the point, in the long run, is that there's something bigger than our differences, something bigger than who we are, individually or even together. And when we touch that, we touch each other. There is no way to be part of that fullness of God that is too big for our comprehension without being part of each other. The question is, even staring this election day in the eye, even reeling from the killing of one more black man, Walter Wallace Jr. in Philadelphia this week, even in the face of these and other realities, can we say that these fallibilities, these definitions we create for one another, aren't the whole story, and certainly not the real story? That real story, the path of better than compromise, is going to start with valuing one another. Back to 2016.
So where I want to leave you today is this last thing on your outlines. Better than compromise starts with valuing the other. The other that you appreciate as well as the other that you don't appreciate. which is where we'll be starting next week when we are talking about committing to the big win, how we value each other. I am convinced that we are all getting tired of having less than compromise in our personal lives, in our communal lives, in our national life, in our global life. And I bet that we all also realize that even though we often get stuck there ourselves, we see the bankruptcy of win-lose and lose-win. We really do know it is lose-lose. We want to do better than that. We can do better than that. And that you are ready to reach for something that is better than compromise. Something that we can only do together when we reach out for that third strand and start opening ourselves to that which is beyond us and that which is going to pull us out of ourselves and beyond ourselves. And I think we also all realize that the problem, like with this election, what we are facing in 2 days, the problem is not politics, folks. The problem isn't this election. The problem is us. Not you and me individually, but us corporately. The way we are learning to work and seek with each other. And while it isn't your fault and it isn't my fault, we are the people that can begin to change it. I think we all have a vision that life could be different. That we could be part of the solution instead of part of the problem. That we could have a vision for compromise, beyond compromise. That we know there is a movement about all around this world. We hear echoes of it. We hear conversations of it. We see it happening all around us. The natural world is full of examples that continue reminding us about what it's like. And we can be part of that movement. And when we are, it starts to change things. And it's going to start with valuing others.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt here and bring us back to 2020, reality check time. I want you to know that I realize that the election about to take place, choosing between extreme differences at the presidential, congressional, state, and local levels, these are going to make real differences in our nation. The results will impact your life and our planet. And I'm deeply concerned about that, and I do not mean to diminish it. I am also saying, though, that despite all that, if we want a better future, we have to find a way to build it together. And that is going to start with the intrinsic value of each and every person. Sorry, I interrupted. Back to the 4 years younger me.
And we can be part of that movement. And when we are, it starts to change things. And it's going to start with valuing others. And this is a really, really good week to practice valuing others. All right? You know, this idea that you don't agree with me on this election thing? Here, listen, let me explain it to you one more time. That works so well. Doesn't work, does it? Spend some time valuing others, thinking about that. We're going to really dive into that next week. So as we close here, I just invite you to be quiet. If you want to take some breaths. Boy, you know, breathing between now and who knows, next month or so, you know, keep centering yourself and taking deep breaths. Because everything is framed up as win-lose. And I believe that God is gathering us here today to give us a vision beyond it. I believe each of us believes in something better than win-lose, better than compromise. And we know that it is true. We know that it is possible. It may not happen today, it may not happen tomorrow, but we can be part of the movement towards it. So let your body be filled with the Spirit, filled with that air. Be a new creation. Share that with others. Value, love, look for what is deeper, deep, deep down. Let us bring it to life. Let us be reminders of hope. Let us help remember that everybody, and I do mean everybody, God means everybody, belongs at the table and brings something that is going to be needed for the solution, for the hope that we all know is there but do not yet understand. This is our prayer.
It is still our prayer these 4 years later, so I keep breathing. I search for my settled self, the one that knows who it is I want to bring to the great weaving of the three strands. You can do that too. The fact that what I was trying to call us to 4 years ago hasn't happened yet. In fact, it may feel to you as though we've moved further from anything like what you imagined the world could be like. That does not, in my heart anyway, that does not mean that this vision of better than compromise is not real. It is just showing you and me that there's a lot of work to do, a big backlog of hurt, fear, and distrust that needs to be seen through as we move forward. We most likely have a pretty contentious couple of days, weeks, months, or more ahead of us. Who we are and how we show up is going to matter. So breathe. Take care of yourself. Use your people. And seek to see people from where they are. Empathy. You don't have to like, accept, or condone what you see, but see them. The people behind what you cannot like, accept, or condone. Ready for that? Yeah, of course not. None of us are. But you know, that's how it works. Yeah, I've got my podcast for next week pretty much worked out already, and I fully expect to throw it all out and start over again about Wednesday. So keep in touch. Send me your thoughts. We're in this together, you know. Woven.
It's worth keeping this conversation going. Share this podcast with a friend and find discussion resources at fabricmpls.com. You can also go to our contact page or reach out on social media to share your feedback and experiences, because Fabric isn't an organization sharing novel ideas. It's a community of people becoming more deeply woven. Thanks for being part of it.